Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing?
Good.
All right. I have been praying really hard about what to talk about this morning, going back, up until they asked me to do it. And I'm really not sure where it's going to go still. So,
praise the Lord.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. All right. First off, for those who don't know, Christ in Action, we are a disaster response ministry. And more accurately, we are an evangelistic group disguised as a disaster response ministry. There's a saying, people, they don't care how much you care, how much you know until they know how much you care. What we do is, this is one of my granddaughters. We basically respond after hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, you name it. We go into the homes. We gut the homes. We have heavy equipment that'll tear houses down that if it's too far gone to fix. People don't realize, and I'm willing to bet that if I were to quiz all y'all individually, probably 60, 65% of Americans are under it or have no insurance. And that many times my career before Christ in Action, I'm a retired fire battalion chief, and I was also a fire marshal, did a lot of investigations, did a lot of private investigations after I left the fire department, and I would ask people, and I'm not going to ask anybody in this room because I don't want them getting squirmy, but men, picture this. How many pairs of shoes does your wives own?
No comment.
That's very wise man. No comment. Now you take that at the average price of $35 to $40 for a pair of shoes, and that's just how much money you're going to spend on shoes. Average tear down of a house is $20,000. If you are underinsured or you have no insurance, $20,000 is a lot of money. So when a group like ours comes in and goes, we're going to do this for free. We have volunteers from all over the country. We have over 300 churches we're associated with across the United States where volunteers come for a week, two, three, whatever they can do. And we're going to come in and we're going to take your house down. Or if it's a flood situation, we're going to gut all the moldy sheetrock out and take all the stuff that's wet out. And we're going to pile it up and we're going to cut. And we got 34 chainsaws. We're going to cut trees. We're going to clean your yard up and we're going to do it for free. And the only cost that we tell them is, when we're done, I want to pray for you. And we pray for them. Can you show the first slide, Brandon? Last year, some of you know, because I spoke here last year. Last year was a very busy year for us. We started in Nebraska for a tornado outside of Omaha. We then went to Greenfield, Iowa, across the border for a tornado. We came home for 2 weeks. We went back to Iowa for a flood in Spencer, Iowa. They got 12 inches of rain in 4 hours. Didn't even make the news cycle out here. We spent 6 weeks out there mucking out basements, and then we were home for a month, and then Helene hit. And we were in Florida and in North Carolina. This is the first time we actually ran two full teams. I ran the North Carolina team in Nashville. We had another team out in Florida, north of Tampa. And we were there basically right through Christmas. This year, praise God, the first year in many, many years, not a single hurricane hit the United States. Amen. There was not a single hurricane formed in the Gulf for the first time in measurable times. So we have actually been able to use that time for the last 6 months to fix everything we broke last year. we have over $1 million worth of equipment. We have a 40,000 square foot warehouse in Culpeper. Come on by sometime. We'll be happy to give you the tour. But all that stuff breaks. All that stuff needs maintenance. We did, however, this early spring, we went to St. Louis. This is a tornado, an EF4 tornado that hit St. Louis. And I think I can do this. This is the path the tornado took. Right here is literally the poorest section of St. Louis. It is also one of the most drug-infested areas of St. Louis. I went out with the initial team. doing initial setup, and then I did this all basically the initial assessments going into there. Multiple times while I'm talking to a homeowner, there's a crack deal going on right behind them. Even after the tornado, even after all the devastation stuff, drugs are still being sold. You want to go to the next slide, Brandon? This is a house of a single woman. Now, as a backdrop on this, this area was built up right before World War II and during World War II. And a lot of the people who moved into these were GIs and soldiers and family people buying things on the GI Bill, bought all these houses, paid them off early. And then dad owned it, and then or grandpa owned it, then mom and dad owned it, and now I own it. But I don't have any money. Generally speaking, first thing to go when people don't have money is what? First thing you stop paying on? Insurance. Nothing's going to happen to me. Why do I need insurance? And so the vast majority of the people affected during this tornado had no insurance. It was an EF4. This is a house for a young lady. I will not give her name just for today. Her name is Mary. Let's do that. She lives in this house. It was her grandfather's house. That's the garage in the back. And you really can't tell, but the tree that fell on the garage is about that big around. Took the garage completely out, took out one wall of the house, part of the attic. Nothing structural inside, but knocked some of the roof members off, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm in there talking to her. And I'm going through and taking the pictures, figuring out what we can do to help her, figuring out how we're going to get an excavator inside, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she says, can you look inside the house? I'm not sure what's going on in there. So I went inside. And that's when I figured out she is a hoarder. For those who don't know, hoarding is a mental illness. I believe it's a spiritual illness. Walking around the house, and with my background in firefighting, etc., I could tell also she's a crackhead. So right off the bat, what can I do as an American? You get nothing. You're wasting my money on drugs. As a Christian, can't do that. Don't want to do that. So I looked at her wall. I can tell the wall fell down long before the storm. It was all rotted, but I said, you know what? We'll get a crew in here. We'll clean this up for you. Nothing to do with the storm. Said, basically, can I pray for you? On all assessments, we pray, and then we get done the jobs, we pray. And then actually last week, after we come home from a deployment, at that six-month mark, we call them back up. What do you need? Is there anything else we can do for you? Can we help you out with anything? Can we pray for you again? That just happened this past week with this group. So I told her, I said, Mary, can I pray for you? She says, yes, please. Connie, come here a minute. You're going to be Mary for a minute. So I went like this. And this is generally the only touch I am allowed as a guy in a building with a woman. And even that, normally it's this. Oh, you going to pray too? I'm glad to meet you. And so I prayed for her. And the whole time I'm praying for her, I felt like the Holy Spirit say, she really needs a hug. And while I'm praying, tears are coming. And I said, Mary, can I give you a hug? And she said, please.
Please.
And I went like this, and she went. And her tears, thank you, went from tears to wailing. Because nobody has touched her with a hug in years and years. And the Holy Spirit just kind of revealed to me at that time, the drug addicts of today are crackheads, are meth heads, are tweakers, are the, my brain just completely cramped. Thank you. The lepers of today. We don't see them. We drive down the road. They're the unseen. They are the unheard. And they are the untouched. We don't reach out and give hugs to crackheads, generally speaking. Fast forward 1 week, the crew shows up to do the job. Talk to me at lunch after they got done. And they're like, I don't know who you were talking to. But the lady we talked to was smiling, was happy, was laughing. God touched her through that hug. I didn't say, repeat after me, do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my
life. Amen.
Amen.
The sinner's prayer. Didn't do that with her. God touched her. I tell you this story because y'all support myself and Connie. Y'all have a piece of that pie. Y'all have a piece of that testimony. And I wanted to tell you that. There's scripture, I think it's in 1 Kings, but basically David, it's the Battle of Ziklag. David is going out, and this is when he was pretending to be a Philistine. And he went out with his guys, and they did some battling, and they came back to their little house, and it was gone. And one of the other ites, Amalekites or termites or whatever they were, came and stole all their family and all their stuff. So David and his men took off after them. And they got a part way there, and then they realized they can't carry all the stuff they were carrying and do fast pursuit. So they said, all right, y'all, stay here with the stuff. We're moving on. We're going to go get them. They got them. They beat them up. They got their stuff back, got their wives and family back, came back to those who waited by the stuff. And David's men that went to battle said, well, they can have their wives and their possessions back, but they can't have any of the rest of the stuff we took. And David went, nah. Those who stay by the stuff have just as much of inheritance as those who went and fought in battle. Y'all stayed by the stuff. Y'all are here supporting Christ in Action, supporting Connie and I, supporting other missionary groups that are around the world. And y'all get a piece of that stuff in the spiritual realm, in heaven. When the offering comes around for missionaries, what? Boo. Boo. Hey, Grandpa Hart. We just got the house. She didn't see any yet, but we got the house all decorated yesterday, so for Christmas. So I did all day yesterday. Anyway, when the missionary prayers come forward, when the missionary funds come forward, just remember, God is looking down and saying thank you. Many years ago, it was actually a song by a Christian songwriter, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. Some of you may remember that one, where a guy goes to heaven, and somebody comes up to him and goes, hey, thank you. And he's like, okay, I have no idea who you are. He goes, well, I lived in Africa, and you gave to a missionary who came who told me about Jesus, and I'm here because of you. When you give to the Lord, tithes and offers. No, he did not tell me to just do that part. So. I want to shift gears a little bit. That's basically where Christ in Action's at. Like I said, it's been quiet. But in my prayer time, it's been, we are not in a downtime as a ministry. We are in a prep mode. Because I just have this thing that the fat's going to hit the fire next year. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means hurricanes are coming again. I don't know if it's a political thing. I don't know, whatever. I just know, in my heart, we are getting ready as a ministry because we may be gone a long time. So that's why we have this downtime to fix all the junk we broke. And we really didn't notice how much stuff we broke until we made a list. Then it was like, wow, we need to buy just new stuff. This is too much work. So through that, and as anybody would know, who knows me at all, I'm a news junkie. When Rachel, she feeding the baby?
Yeah.
Okay. When Rachel was a baby, that age, this is pre-internet, I would lay on the couch and pull out the Sunday Boston Globe, all 4,000 pages of it, and Rachel would lay right here. She wasn't sleeping. She was reading the newspaper with me. And she just stare at it. And when she got a little older, if I, you know, I was turning a page, her hand would go up like, well, yeah, I'm not done that story yet. And I think that's one reason why she has such an affinity for books now. But I watch the news. I read the news. I go online. There's about 5 different news agencies I look at. I look at BBC. I look at Jerusalem Times. I look at Fox. I look at CNN because I want the full picture of everything that's going on. Right now, the news is saying, freak out. And not the good freak out of the 70s, the song, freak out now. Saw an article the other day about the supervolcano that's brewing underneath Yellowstone. That could go any minute. Wintertime predictions. Snow in Virginia.
Oh, God. Yes. Wow.
18 inches.
Bring it.
Throughout the whole winter, not in one storm. Connie hails from Colorado. We lived in Colorado a long time. A storm that brings a foot of snow is generally called Tuesday. They're talking about the politics. I have never seen in my time on the planet this nation more divided over politics. And I said this the other day to somebody, and they said, well, what about the Civil War? And I'm like, not the same. Civil War, it was this group against this group. Today, it is me against my neighbor. Literally. Watch the political science going up every fall. Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, 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 Democrat. And we're getting vocal about it. And we're getting violent about it. And we can't just sit there and go, let me hear your viewpoint. You hear, let me hear yours. You hear mine. Let's find middle ground. It's not a thing anymore. Scripture says a nation divided against itself cannot stand. Cannot stand. We are being fed freak out by the media, by the world. So today, and this is where we're going to go, and this is where I'm not sure how direction on all of this, but we'll try. Psalm 46:10. If you put that in your Bible, open that up in your Bibles, or turn on your phone, or sign into your laptop, or whatever it is you're doing. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. I have read that for years and years and years and years. Be still, which generally means relax. Relax. It's okay. I'm God. I'll take care of this. That's not what that scripture means. When you break it down in the Hebrew, it means to sink, to let drop, abandon, forsake. And I hate to do this because there's kids in there. Well, actually, the kids are all in there. They probably don't hear that, and they won't break into song. Let it go. Don't you? Don't you? I saw that look on your face. You wanted to sing it. So scripture's saying, let it go and know that I am God. Release it and know that I am God. Give it up and know that I am God. Connie and I was asking this question this morning. As you all know, I've got five daughters, one from a previous relationship before Christ. We have four daughters with Connie. We have a two and two. And it seems like the first one, piece of cake. I believe God does that on a regular basis, because if the first one's not a piece of cake, there won't be a second one. Second one, a little more stressful. Third one, piece of cake. Fourth one, a little more stressful. We had two and two. We had one of them who we had to tell on a regular basis when she was a toddler, put it down. Let go of that thing. It is not safe for you to have. I believe God is trying to tell us this morning in Psalm 46, the thing you are holding on to is not safe for you to have. You're keeping a grasp tight on something that is not yours to possess in the first place. It is something I have to have. I have to take it, says God. And the trick, though, is I can't give it to him like this. I have to go like, and it's not hand it to him, it's let go. I want that back. That's a good pen. I got to let it go. I have to just say, not mine. This is yours, God. So what are some of the things that as a society, as an individuals, we grab a hold of and have a hard time going, let it go? First one is worrying. The enemy wants us worried about everything. And if he can't get us to worry about everything, he'll get us to worry about one thing. For a while, one of my daughters really walked away from God. And we worried about it. And we worried about it. And we worried about it. And the Holy Spirit had to sit there and go, if you want to keep that, keep it. But if you want me to move in her life, let go of it. Because if you're keeping it, I can't touch it. But if you let go of it and trust that I love her more than you will ever love her, I'll take care of it. And we had to let it go. She's coming back around. It's a process, like anything else in life. It's a process. But she's coming home. Fear not, or some vernacular of that area, fear not, appears 365 times in Scripture. What else occurs 365 times? A day of the year. Which God is saying, Monday, chill, don't worry about it. Tuesday, chill, don't worry about it. Wednesday, chill, don't worry about it. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's our job. We look for God. We seek God. We praise God. We worship God. We be with God. We have a relationship with God. And the stuff we want to worry about, if we're trusting God, that's his. Whenever I say, Lord, I'm not sure I can trust you with my daughter, I am literally taking this from him. And I'm putting it in my pile. God's over there going, go. Let's see how that works. And he'll let you hang on to it as many days, weeks, months, or years. Like your Bible. It's well used. As often and as long as you want to. So what do I believe? Well, the word believe in the Greek, it is the conviction of the truth of anything. A conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Generally with the idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. Do you all believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you all believe he did what he said he was going to do? So why do we hang on to stuff we're not supposed to? And when I say we, I mean I'm right in the middle of all that too. When I was starting to put these notes together, it was one of these things. I'm not talking to y'all, I'm talking to myself. The Holy Spirit is talking to me through this because I grab things and I worry about things I am not supposed to. It is hard as a father in this world to not worry about your children. They're married. They come to my house. They bring the little one. She runs around, tears things up. We have fun. They leave. And the first thing I tell them is, let me know when you get home. She's still 16. In my eyes. You weren't supposed to say that. She's still 16. She just got her driver's license here. And Connie will tell you, I'll be going at home and we'll be watching football or something. And I'll go, they should be home by now. They haven't texted yet. My little worry monitor's going off. So do I, yeah. So what do I worry about? What are the things you worry about? Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our message and whom has the Lord been revealed, or the arm of the Lord been revealed? So when I start to worry, when I start pondering things that are out of my realm, when I start saying, you know, really, this ought to be this and this ought to be that, am I believing in the report of the Lord or am I believing the report of the world? Matthew 6:25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as long as what you will or what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? For the longest time, as a Christian, because of stuff I fought before I was a Christian, I had a hard time with that sentence. Am I worth more than they? Because in my mind and in my heart, no, I'm not. I was a very lonely high schooler, middle schooler. Didn't have a lot of friends. Most of the friends that I had are the ones that were buying drugs off of me, or the ones I'd go get drunk with. And they really weren't friends. It was a means to an end. We all got ripped together. Looking back, Facebooking now, looking back, and people going, oh, you remember this thing, and you remember that thing, and you remember we all went, and I'm like, no, I wasn't invited to any of that stuff. And as an adult, even as a Christian, I had a hard time for a long time saying, people like me. And I can tell by looking in some eyes, some of you have fought that same fight. Denny Nisley, the founder of Christ in Action, posts every time one of his daughters has a birthday, hey, it's my favorite daughter's birthday. And he's got 11 of them, so he's got, you know, a lot of favorites. And people say, I am God's favorite. How many of you can say that and believe that? Because you are. He loves us all the same. We are all his favorite. But if we can't believe that, maybe we ought to be asking the Holy Spirit, why? What is it about me that I don't like me? It might be one of the things you're worried about, one of the things you need to hand over to God. So past hurts, past mistakes, past failures. We're coming into the season where they show the same five Christmas movies over and over and over and over and over again. One of them is It's a Wonderful Life. As a matter of fact, I think it's on Thanksgiving Day. I can't remember if it's TNT or TBS. One of the TV stations is showing it 24 hours. Wow. It's a Wonderful Life. You can watch the first third of it before turkey, the second third, half of it after turkey, after your nap. You can start over again and watch it again all day. It's a Wonderful Life. I got to thinking about, why is that movie so prevalent? Besides, it's a great movie. It's a good Christmas movie. And I have done this in my past, and I'm sure many of you have done that too, where you regret something in your past that you did. You look back and you go, if I had only not done that. That's what the whole premises of the movie is. If I wasn't here, everybody else would be better off without me. And yet, what's the angel's name? Clarence? Yeah, Clarence the angel comes down and goes, well, let's play that game. And they realized, no. And I got to thinking about it. What if one event, he was here, he just didn't do one event. He didn't save his brother when he was fell through the ice. That one event, everything else was the same. Well, according to the movie, those 1,000 men on the troop ship would have died. What if he had gone to college instead of stayed back and worked at the bank? Well, according to the movie, he wouldn't have met his wife, they wouldn't have fixed up the dilapidated house, and the entire house would have gone, or the whole town would have gone into Potter's hands from one event. Have we ever looked at our past mistakes, our past failures, and said, God, If I only hadn't done that thing. I hate to break the news to you, but that one thing that you did that you regret is who you, is made you who you are today. I was an alcoholic at 14 and a drug addict at 15. I regret a lot of what I've done back in those days. On more than one occasion, at the time, I drove my dad's car because he had a company car, and so I didn't need to buy a car. And more than one occasion, I woke up behind the wheel of my father's car, running in the driveway, and had no idea how I got there. The last thing I remember is I was at a party, and somebody was handing around acid. And now, 5 hours later, I'm in my driveway, and I'm literally getting out of the car going, no blood, no dents, there's not a deer stuck on the roof, we're good. And I look back at that stuff as a Christian and go, man, I was an idiot. And yes, I was. But also, having lived that life, I can go up to somebody who goes, listen, I know drugs are great. I know you are involved in them deep right now. But I can tell you there's hope on the other side. Because the vast majority of the people, from what I've tripped across and I've known, if they're doing drugs and alcohol, there's a reason. There is an event. There's a thing going on. There is something going on in their heads, their mind, whatever that they don't like about themselves. And they're doing that stuff to drown out the voice. And if somebody can come up to them and go, been there, done it. Here's the voice you're looking for. Here's the hope you're looking for. I'm not saying if you've never done drugs, you can't reach out to a drug addict. But there's some empathy there that I may have that you may not. When I was on the ambulance in New Hampshire, we ran the ambulance out of the fire department, and there was one of the volunteer ladies who would go during the day, and this is not a proud thing, but if it was, all right, we had a dispatcher do this, she toned us out one time for an LOL FDGB. And we're like, what? Dispatch, can you repeat that? Yeah, you're responding to 123 Main Street for an LOL FDGB. Go to 2. Yeah, what's up? What are you selling us? You're going for a little old lady who fell down, go boom. Oh my gosh. Okay, now we know. If it was an LOL FDGB, she rode in the back. Because she had this type of an empathy that could talk to people for long periods of time. If I was in the back, I'd be like, hey, you all right? Yeah, okay, all right. You still all right? Oh, okay. Man, it's 10 more minutes to the hospital. Hey, are you all right? On the other side of the coin, if you take a car and you wrap it around a tree and you eject the passenger, and this is a trauma, I'm the man. I was known as a trauma junkie. I will save your life, and I will deliver you to the hospital alive. What they do with you after that's not my problem. So we would swap because she had empathy for elderly people that I didn't have. We have the chaplain program through Christ in Action. It's a 3-part training program. Assisting individuals in crisis is first class.
Pastoral care.
Pastoral care is the second one.
And chaplain basic training.
Chaplain basic training is the third one. And after that, show the badge. You can take a test, you do an interview, and you can get a shiny little gold and silver badge. It says chaplain. Denny has asked me several times, why don't you do that? And I'm like, A, I have a drawer full of badges. I don't need another one. B, it's not my forte. I'm not a hand holder. It's just not how God designed me. My daughter's over there smiling like crazy because she's like, yep, yep. Because they would come to us when they were younger. I'm hurt. Are you bleeding? No. Can you walk? Yeah. Rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine. Am I wrong? Nope. We all have an empathy. We all have a desire. We all have a heart leaning towards others in specific areas. When we worry about things, when we follow It's a Wonderful Life and we say, oh God, if I only had not done X. Well, that X may be what God wants you to do now. That may be the avenue for you to reach out to somebody else with the love of Christ. If you've had an abortion, could you reach out to a woman who's thinking about an abortion? Military, we're about to lose these two to the state of Hawaii. He's getting transferred, which means next summer I'm going to lose her to the state of Hawaii for the summer. Could he reach out to other military people and go, I know what it's like to leave hearth and home. I know how hard this is going to be for you. Let's talk. Because he's done it. How many different places have you lived so far now?
Six.
Six. Wow. At what, 3-year increments roughly?
Yeah, about.
Okay. Six places. 3 years at a time, 18 years, new home. That's hard on a family. There's a ministry team for that. So when you're thinking about stuff, when you're looking at things, Isaiah 61:3, provide for those who grieve in Zion and bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. The purpose of planting a tree is to make it a display. Shade, protection, wood that we get build stuff with. When we ponder our past, we should not be pondering that thing. The devil keeps bringing up that thing that I did when I was 21. He keeps bringing up that thing when I was 10. And it may not even be something you did. It may have been something someone did to you. And I bring up that hurt and that hurt and that hurt and that hurt. And God is saying, give it to me. Let go of it. Stop holding on to that which you were never designed to hang on to in the first place. We were designed and created for relationship and for relationship. And when we hold on to things like, God, I did nothing and yet I was sexually assaulted when I was 8. And you sit there and you do this relationship stops. When you do this at the person who offended you, this relationship stops. We need to stop. We, all of us, need to stop holding on to that which we are never designed to have in the first place. My last thing, and I'll try to not make eye contact on this, besetting sins. Stuff that we've been trying to kick forever. You all know what they are in your life, if you've got one. Why, God? Why do I still get angry all the time? Why, God? Why? There may be an answer. There may not be an answer. The answer may be, my grace is sufficient for you. Just live in that. I was talking to someone earlier today, talking about, Paul talks about his thorns, the thorns in his side. And he's prayed 3 times, Lord, for these thorns to be removed from me. And God said, chill. Let it go. I don't know if God said chill, but, you know, that's in Old Testament times or New Testament times. But my grace is sufficient for you. History, biblical history teachers think, and nobody really knows for sure, but they think the reason the thorns in his side was he was going blind. And the reason why they say that in several of the letters at the end, it says, and see what big letters I'm writing this. Because at the time, we didn't have these. Where Paul could just sit there and go, oh, wow, that's really big. He would have to take a pen and write, and he would have, and they, this we do know, he had people write the letters for him, and then he would sign off on them. I can only imagine. What going blind while trying to do ministry was, would be like. But when I look at it, many times the thing I'm holding on to, the thing I will not let go, is a spiritual blindness. In that scripture I just read, under Isaiah 63, or 61:3, it says, bestow upon him a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Beauty refers to a headdress, a turban, or a tiara. God is stating he's going to wipe out the ashes on your forehead. And you all know from, during biblical times when you were in mourning, you take the ashes and throw them all over your face and your head. And God is saying, I'm going to wipe those off of your head. And I'm going to put a crown on you instead. And that crown is beauty. Many times we go, God, I got this thing, and I got this thing, and I put ashes on my head, and God goes, stop, and he wipes it off. And we go, but God, this thing, stop, but God, this thing. God's like, I want to give you a beauty. I want to give you a crown. You got to stop putting the ashes on your head. We got to stop self-inflicting. Philippians 3, 12. And for that, I do need my glasses. Not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul uses that term, go back to it, I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. In four or five different letters, he says that stuff. He says that same expression, for what Christ took a hold of me for. God took a hold of you for a purpose, a reason. That reason changes as we get older, as we go through life. I look back, I've been associated with Christ in Action Ministries for 40 years. I've only come on full-time in the last, that would be 2 years in April. But I would go, do my job, come back. Go, do my job, go on this deployment, go to that. I'm on the board of directors for the last 12 years. I'd go have a board of director meeting, I'd go home. And for years, I was like, God, when? When is my turn? When is my turn? Why can't I go full-time with Christ in Action? And the answer has been always the same. I got you right where you're supposed to be. And then I do the It's a Wonderful Life thing. There are ambulance calls. There are rescue calls. There were fire calls that had I not been there, the outcome would not have been the same. I'm not saying I'm a hero. I'm not saying this, that, or the other. I'm saying God showed me things in the middle of events that others could not see. And the outcome went this way instead of the other way. So why has God taken a hold of you? Hey, Brandon, go ahead and start that. We're going to do a little time of ministry right now. I would like all of y'all to close your eyes. Just come to a place in your heart where it's just you and the Holy Spirit. My first question, I want you in your heart to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, Why did you take a hold of me? Some of you, that answer is going to be very evident because you're in the middle of the battle already. You're in the middle of the fight already. You're in the middle of ministry already. Some of you may be hitting a door where this part of your life is done. A new part of your life is about to begin. Lord, why did you take a hold of me? Aside the sins that so easily encumber, and to grab a hold of you. To stop believing lies about ourselves. To stop believing the enemy when he says, you're no good. You'll never change. You'll never kick this sin. Believing those things, those voices, and to pick up your word and to pick up your mantle, to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. To step away from that thing you had us drop just now, to bury it, never to resurrect it again. for this people, Lord God. I thank you for the chance to just talk about you for a while. I ask you, Father, that you help us in the days and the weeks ahead to remember what you're doing here now. That when the busyness of the season starts really kicking in gear, we can still have time to set aside and say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Prayer afterwards. Don will be up here. Connie will be up here. I don't know who else you got for prayer team, whatever. But I just want to thank you for letting me talk. And if anybody does not have a place for Thursday and they don't mind the drive, we live over towards Linden. We got food coming out of our ears. Come on by. You're all invited. Just let us know you're coming so we know how many chairs we got to put out. Right?